Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here on this show today. Coming up in the next hour is, of course, our weekly legislative update. And yesterday, as we told you was likely to happen, that very thing did happen. And later in the day, Wednesday, the Montana legislature called it a wrap. They adjourned. Signy die, whatever you want to call it, they are done. And I know a lot of people are disappointed. So we're gonna try to look at, okay, what were some of the successes? Because there were some successes that came out of this legislative session. And what got pushed across the finish line in the final 24 hours as well. We'll get to that with leading lawmakers from both sides of the aisle. But hey, by the way, you don't have to wait till next hour for a legislative update. If you're one of our state lawmakers that is now finally home for the first time in a long time, you can call in this hour of the show, because we got open phone lines here in the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks, 406-294-0970, if you want to jump in on the conversation, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. This was a funny message we got from Tim and Savage yesterday. Did you guys hear the soundbite? Tim Walz. Tampon Tim, as he's known, Tim Walz, the Democrat governor of Minnesota, who was Kamala Harris's running mate, he was doing some interview. Let me look at the Fox News story here to see who he was doing the interview with. But he says this, though. He basically says that Kamala Harris picked him as her vice presidential candidate so that he could, quote, code talk to white guys, so he could code talk to white guys. Walz said Harris chose him in part because I could code talk to white guys watching football, fixing their truck, and put them at ease. The Minnesota governor described himself as the permission structure for white men from rural America to vote for Democrats. Do you guys remember seeing the video? I think he was talking with ABC News, a national political reporter, when he made these remarks. Do you guys remember when he was fumbling around with the shotgun, the big Elmer Fudd moment on the campaign trail? Oh, yeah, he thought he was going to be the code talker to the white guys. But Tim and Savage sent me this story, I think, either late in the show yesterday or after the show wrapped up. And he said, wait a minute, the guy who puts tampons in the men's room, or the little boys' room, to be more precise. I mean, remember, these were like third graders. But anyway, he said, the guy who puts tampons in the men's room was picked to talk about football and fixing the truck? Seriously? Or as Jim in Great Falls would say, the pickup, not the truck, the pickup. Yeah. What an absolute embarrassment. And then you remember, of course, the Montana Democrat Party brought Tim Walz to Helena to be their big keynote speaker for their Mansfield-Metcalf dinner just a few weeks ago. Okay, we got the phone lines open for you. Lots to talk about here. I'm going to save most of the legislative update for the 9 o'clock hour of the show, but hey, if you want to sound off now, phone lines are open for you. Back right after this with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is House Call for Health. It's the first day of May, which is the start of Brain Tumor Awareness Month. The Glioblastoma Research Organization says glioblastoma, or GBM, accounts for 48% of all primary malignant or cancerous brain tumors. It can impact men, women, and children of any age, and unfortunately, the causes remain unknown. While it can strike anyone, it's most common in adults. GBM tumors are also usually highly malignant because the cells reproduce so quickly. There are limited therapies because of the location and composition. More than 240,000 people die globally every year because of brain or nervous system cancer, and GBM is the most common form of the disease. The chance of surviving 1 year is 35%, and for up to 5 years, the survival rate is just 4.7%. You can get more information online at gbmresearch.org, or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Fox Cross Country.
I'm Michelle Pulido. I think I should go. The forthcoming Taylor Sheridan Blake Shelton music competition show The Road has added country star Gretchen Wilson to the series. The show follows several up-and-coming musical acts going on tour as the openers for headliner Keith Urban. The Road is slated to premiere on CBS this fall. Wilson will be the show's tour manager, giving advice and guidance to contestants. In the series, a group of musicians perform as opening acts for Urban. The audiences at these shows determine who continues in the competition and who has to leave the tour bus. Ella Langley and Zach Top have been tapped to perform at next week's 60th Annual Academy of Country Music Awards, following their wins for ACM New Female Artist of the Year and New Male Artist of the Year, respectively. Reba McEntire hosts the ACM Awards, which streamed live on Prime Video Thursday, May 8th at 8 Eastern. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, more bad news for Kilmore. Kilmore, the MS-13 gangbanger, human trafficking suspect, the guy from El Salvador that the fake news media keeps calling Maryland Man. More bad news for Kilmore continues to get uncovered and ignored at the same time by most in the fake news media. We'll get to that story here in just a second. And I finally found that audio of Tim Walz, who thinks he's a code talker. I mean, talk about stolen valor. He's trying to call himself a code talker here. The guy, first off, code talkers were American heroes, Native Americans, particularly in World War II, who deployed to war for their country. Tim Walz, the guy who deliberately dodged a deployment and bailed on his men when they got sent over to the sandbox in Iraq. Oh, he's now calling himself a code talker. Oh, for Pete's sake, here we go again. I'll play that audio for you here in just a second. But first up, let me tell you about a great deal going on right now. YHIC, your home improvement company. They're having their biggest sale of the year. It's a once-a-year event, and they've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, check out the financing options right now. 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is their biggest sale of the year. Don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. Again, that number, 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with
Fox News commentary.
Amazon reportedly considered and then reconsidered a plan to show tariff transparency.
You got to kill off the Fox News update till the top of the hour. All right, there we go. Anyway, back to the phone number here, 406. That's how you know we're doing it live, right? 406-948-2836. And, check out your home improvement company, YHIC. com. All right, let's see. Here you go. Real Clear Politics has the audio. So, yeah, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, the guy who put tampons in the little boys' room for third graders, was doing this discussion. It looks like he was at, where was he at? The Institute of Politics. Was this really at Harvard University? Well, yeah, what an embarrassment, Harvard, the Institute of Politics. Harvard is the Institute of Anti-Semitism, is what we've seen of Harvard lately. But they brought Tampon Tim up there to speak at this panel discussion. Here's where he talks about why Kamala Harris put him on the ticket.
But I also was on the ticket, quite honestly, because I could code talk to white guys watching football fixing their truck, doing that, but I could put them at ease. I was the permission structure to say, look, you can do this and vote for this. And you look across those swing states, with the exception of Minnesota, we didn't get enough of those votes.
But you're going to be giving them permission on TV every day. You could have been messaging that way, and that isn't necessarily how it shook out.
No, yes, but I also said I understand myself. I said I think I'd give you pretty good stuff, but I'll also give you 10% problematic. And so somebody's got to make the decision here to handle some of this stuff. And
anyway, so he was talking about how, yeah, he was brought on to be the code talker to white men in rural states. And then he tells you, yeah, apparently that didn't work. Apparently that didn't work. Apparently Tampon Tim putting tampons in the little girls' bathrooms and tap dancing on the stage and flailing his arms around everywhere and backing some of the most insane policies in the United States of America. Yeah, for some reason that didn't work in rural America. Go figure. Go figure. All right, let's see. Let's now get back to this other story. You know, the Maryland man, who's not a Maryland man, that the fake news media keeps lying about. So there is even more bad information coming to light about Kilmore Garcia. Actually saw this yesterday. Jenny Tyer on X, the New York Post had this. The New York Post obtained court documents from 2018 showing Kilmore Abrego Garcia was being accused of gang membership by his wife's ex and the father of her two kids. And then there's other court documents on top of that. Another protective order filed against Kilmore Garcia, the MS-13 gangbanger that the Democrats are fighting so hard to bring back to the United States of America.
In addition to the 2021 protective order filed by the wife of Kilmore Abrego Garcia, another filing from 2020 has surfaced. This time his wife wrote in part, quote, "I am afraid to be close to him. I have multiple photos, videos of how violent he can be and all the bruises he left me. He told my ex-mother-in-law that even if he kills me, no one can do anything to him." Still many Democrats, many of whom traveled to El Salvador, are advocating for Abrego Garcia's release, believing he is an innocent man wrongly deported.
All right. Yeah, there you go. That's the guy that the Democrats are holding sit-ins for, are holding all night filibusters for, is that guy right there. But just look at the way they're opposing efforts to deport these criminal illegal aliens across the board. I mean, there's a radical left Democrat Party group in the Flathead Valley now. I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook, but they're basically, you know, going after our Border Patrol agents in northwestern Montana and doing everything they can to prevent illegal aliens from being deported out of the Flathead Valley. So there are these radical left extremists, even in the Flathead Valley, that are trying to block the deportation of these criminal illegal aliens and trying to undermine our Border Patrol agents. All right, more to follow right after this. 406-294-0970, the number for you.
Military Matters.
Top Pentagon officials testified to the House Oversight Committee on mysterious drone activity over the U.S. military bases seen over the last few years. In 2024 alone, 350 drones were detected at over 100 military installations. Rear Admiral Paul Spadaro, who serves as Vice Director for Operations for the Pentagon's Joint Staff, told the committee the number is going up and had this warning.
Should our adversary choose to employ drones for surveillance or even attack, we would not be prepared to adequately defend our homeland and only marginally capable to defend our military installations.
Back in February, the general who heads U.S. Northern Command, General Guio, warned that military commanders do not have the authority needed to protect their bases. He requested an expansion of authorities to outside the perimeter of the bases so they don't have to wait until the drone is over the sensitive military installations to take action. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Liz Frieden, Fox News.
Donald Trump's America.
Economic growth slowed in the first quarter of 2025. GDP shrank 0.3 of a point.
And I have to start off by saying that's Biden. That's not Trump.
President Trump at a cabinet meeting Wednesday said his administration inherited a weak economy, rejecting analysts who point to his tariff rollout as contributing to economic uncertainty.
I heard Samsung is now, because of the tariffs, they're going to build massive facilities in the United States. If we didn't do the tariffs, they wouldn't be doing that.
The gross domestic product measures what's made in the U.S. Imports count against it, and that was a major driver of the downward trajectory. The Commerce Department says shipments into the country surged in the first quarter as importers pre-ordered ahead of tariffs being implemented, a trend likely to reverse in the year's second quarter. Consumer spending also rose 1.8%, with gains for both services and goods. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
It's time. From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, speaking of illegal aliens, you know, I talked about the Flathead Valley, and you've got these far-left activist groups. Of course, you know, they're the local Democrats there. I mean, remember when they, by the way, I saw the Flathead Democrats are having their banquet coming up. Are they doing the vegan, you know, the no meat, the no beef, the vegan dinner again this year? Yeah, I saw they're having the gun control guy speak or MC their event. I wonder if they're doing the vegan thing again. But yeah, those are the folks that are showing up at these George Soros fake phony town halls. Those are the folks that are holding these fake phony protests. Those are the folks that don't want these illegal aliens to get deported out of here. Let's take you to Gallatin County now. This was a big story that came out. I should have brought this one up yesterday on the show. But some of you may not have seen this story. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle has this headline. It's a piece written by Lawrence Bush. Gallatin County considers negotiating with ICE over detention center beds. Notice Gallatin County has to consider whether or not they will negotiate with ICE. You've got three Democrat county commissioners in Gallatin County. You've got, a far-left city commission in Bozeman. What did we hear the last time we caught up with Governor Greg Gianforte? We talked about border security and illegal aliens, Tren de Aragua, Mexican drug cartels. He was told by federal law enforcement that they estimate that there's about 1,000 illegal aliens in Montana, with most of them in the Gallatin Valley. We've had Tren de Aragua gangbanger thugs busted in the Gallatin Valley, Belgrade, Bozeman area. Mexican drug cartels have been targeting the valley. We've had illegal aliens wrong way drunk driving on the interstates in Bozeman. Multiple cases of that. You've had rapes and sexual assaults, girls being pulled out of downtown bars. Legal aliens. And the Gallatin County commissioners, the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners are, well, we're considering whether or not to work with ICE. We're considering whether or not. Here we go. Gallatin County is considering negotiations with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, to provide county detention center beds for holding those charged with violating immigration laws. These are preliminary internal discussions, but it's an initial step for the county commissioners at the request of Sheriff Dan Springer. By the way, good job, Sheriff Dan Springer. It's a request, at the request of Sheriff Dan Springer to work more closely with ICE and the Trump administration on deportations, despite warnings from the county attorney over significant legal liabilities. Here you go. A Democrat county attorney is trying to stop efforts to allow local law enforcement to more effectively work with ICE. You read this article, and it looks basically like you've got Democrat elected officials now in Gallatin County who are standing in the way of ICE or doing what they can to resist this. I mean, that's what this article certainly looks like here. The Democrat Gallatin County attorney is warning the county. Oh, there's significant. If you partner with federal law enforcement to get people who have violated the law of this country to hold them accountable, oh, there's legal liabilities? Are you kidding me? This Democrat county attorney is trying to stand in the way of getting these. Well, then you read further. You read further in the article here. There's a quote from far left Democrat county commissioner Zach Brown. He's a Grizz. I say that as a UM alum. He's a Grizz in Bobcat country. A far left activist UM alum Zach Brown. He said this. He said, quote, Sheriff Springer brought this to us and asked us to consider it. We haven't talked to anyone from that agency or the federal government, but the way he portrayed it to us is that ICE is very interested in and almost desperate for beds. In a letter from last week, the Gallatin County Commission voiced its willingness to entertain negotiations with ICE so long as several stipulations are met. Get this. This would include that anyone held by ICE must have criminal charges and not just civil immigration-related issues, which are beyond the authority of local law enforcement. That's why you partner with federal law enforcement here. These guys are trying to resist. These guys are trying to turn Gallatin County into a sanctuary county. They are trying to make Bozeman a sanctuary city. That's what you read when you read this article here. The Democrat County Attorney, the Democrat County Commissioners. Crime has been a major issue in Bozeman and in Gallatin County. The Mexican drug cartels are targeting the area. Tren de Aragua, violent Venezuelan gangbangers are targeting the area. You've had other thefts. You've had home invasions, burglaries, sexual assaults, wrong way drunk drivers, illegal aid. The Democrat County Attorney has previously told us, well, look, we're undermanned in our court system. We need more personnel in our courts. The courts need more resources. Apparently not, because apparently crime is not that big of an issue for you. Apparently breaking the laws of this country is not that big of an issue for you, because you are now trying to stand in the way of our great men and women in federal law enforcement, who are trying to help defend this land and defend this country and clean up the crime problem. They are trying to stand in the way of this. This is outrageous. And I'll tell you what, this, maybe the state of Montana needs to get involved and say, all right, Gallatin County, if you're going to harbor these criminal illegal aliens and you're going to, you know, obstruct. This is what this article reads to me, is they're trying to obstruct federal law enforcement here. Then they need to be held accountable by the feds, by the state, by the people of Gallatin County. Now, yeah, it's this. Let's just go back to this letter here. In a letter from last week, the Gallatin County Commission voiced its willingness to entertain negotiations with ICE so long as several stipulations are met. Is this a hostage negotiation? The Gallatin County Commissioner should be bending over backwards saying, hey, what help do you need from us? What can we do to help? We've got a massive criminal element here in our county. We've also got a housing crisis. And, man, if we got these criminal gangbangers out of here and if we got these illegal aliens out of here, well, we'd actually have some more housing space for people. These people don't care about you. They don't care about their county. They are far-left activists trying to stand in the way of President Trump just for the sake of standing in the way of President Trump. Plus, they also, like the rest of the Democrat Party, say, hey, these are potential future voters or maybe current voters. They said here, well, you know, we haven't talked to anybody from that agency or the federal government yet. Why not? Why not? Look, even if they weren't, you know, making it clear that they're trying to issue demands and threats to federal officials here. Let's put that aside for a moment. You haven't even reached out or talked with anybody from ICE? You haven't talked with anybody from that agency or the federal government? Really? I'll bet you guys want a whole pile of money from the federal government. I'll bet if you thought you could get a grant, $100,000 grant to paint all the crosswalks rainbow colors, you'd be talking to the federal government within the hour to get your hands on the grant money for the rainbow colored crosswalks. But you have criminals in your county, criminals in your cities, harming people in your communities. And, well, we haven't really talked with anybody from those agencies or the federal government yet. Dereliction of duty. A complete, absolute dereliction of duty. They are obstructing federal law enforcement with this threat letter that they sent out, based on the read that I'm seeing here in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, anyway. What's your thoughts? Shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app or call in right now. I do have a great guest joining us here in just a few minutes after our next break. Let's see. We got some messages coming in right now. Let's see. A listener in Kalispell says, a city of, and this is somebody who would know this too, a city of Kalispell councilman has been part of the movement to push Whitefish to be a sanctuary city. This same councilman, now I won't use the name because if somebody wants to go on the record and use the name or send me a link with more information, et cetera. But anyway, so I won't use the name for right now, but until I see, you know, more information to back it up. But this tipster in Kalispell says this same Kalispell city councilman, who has been a part of the movement to push Whitefish to be a sanctuary city, is acting like he wants to run for mayor of Kalispell to try and flip Kalispell blue. Ooh, man, definitely send me more information on that front. I just saw this message from Morgan in Helena. Yeah, hopefully I said it before your great prompt here. I said obstruction, but here's a good message from Morgan in Helena. Call it what it is. Gallatin County is aiding and abetting illegal aliens. Well said there by Morgan in Helena. There we go. Thanks for that message. Okay, let's see. Yeah, coming up. All right, we got a great guest coming up right after this here on this show. One of our women warriors. She actually wrote a book about her service in Iraq, but she's got an incredible event that she is hosting later this summer for our women warriors. She's going to give us an update on that here right after this. So stand by, back with Montana Talks here right after this. Spring.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great guest with us now here on Montana Talks. I can't remember if it was last Veterans Day or the Veterans Day before that, but I remember reading about a woman warrior right here in Montana who wrote a book about her service in Iraq as a machine gunner in Iraq, back especially during the heavy combat, intensive years of combat in Iraq. And really the book was basically her diary entries from when she was in Iraq, and such a great chance to meet with Dallas Knight, U.S. Army veteran. But since that time, it's been incredible to follow what she's been doing to continue to show support for her fellow women warriors out there, not just here in Montana, but all across the country. She has her Not So Average Jane podcast that we talked about before, but now she's got a very cool retreat that's coming up, I think, later this summer. And it's a retreat for women warriors, not just from all across Montana, but from all across the country. Dallas Knight, great to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Aaron.
Yeah, did I screw up anything on your bio?
No, you were 100% correct on all the things.
All right. Well, I got to go to a fundraiser that Elizabeth Shoemaker and some other friends put together for you, and it was such an incredible event. And great hearing more of your story, because when I first had you on the show, we talked about your experiences in Iraq and just the struggles of transitioning, not just as a warrior, but especially as a woman warrior, and how different that transition back to normal everyday life can be. But I guess tell our listeners first off what all you're doing with Operation Juliet.
Yeah, Operation Juliet was really born out of the need to serve the female veteran community. There's not a lot of resources that cater to the specific challenges that women face as a veteran. And more so, I guess the flagship project under Operation Juliet serves the female combat veteran, which is an even smaller niche. But there's 300,000 women that served in Iraq or Afghanistan just in our generation, not to mention all the women that laid ground before us, right? But there's so many combat veterans that are women, and they have unique challenges. We're not all built the same. And what I have found through talking to many of these women is a large majority of them also experience military sexual trauma. So when it comes to programs and retreats and resources, who is there? The faculty that's running it, the founders, the operators, no offense to them, but it does matter. And so when they look at a male-run, male-operated, male faculty, and then they're thinking about, you know, getting down to the most vulnerable state and trying to heal from past traumas, that's not as appealing, which reflects on the numbers of our brother and sister organizations across the country when I talk to them about how many women are coming through their programs.
Yeah. So you're actually going to be doing this Women's Warrior Retreat, and it's going to be out at the Quiet Waters Ranch outside of Belgrade, right there at the base of the Bridger Mountains. I was just there last weekend for some board meetings, and it's such an incredible facility. When I was, in fact, when I parked my pickup and then walked up to the main lodge for the meetings, I did like this 360 kind of spin as I was walking up the driveway just to take in the full view, because you can see the whole Gallatin Valley from there. You see mountain ranges in all 360 directions, and the ponds are there. And so it's just such a peaceful place to be. But so that's where it's going to take place. And so but it was interesting. So when I attended your Operation Juliet fundraiser, you know, you talked about how for women warriors, they're not only trying to transition back into everyday life as warriors, but also just as women. And you look at all these veteran service organizations that are out there and these opportunities for veterans, these different programs, and almost all of them are more focused on things that are appealing to men, not necessarily things that appeal to women. And you made the point that a lot of these women are trying to reclaim their womanhood, and they felt like they lost a part of that when they were in the sandbox or wherever they were deployed to.
Yeah, and it's not that women don't like fishing and hunting and being outdoors. We absolutely love those things. But again, as you alluded, one of the key challenges is getting back in touch with our femininity. You know, when we go in the military, we all train the same. We're all shoulder to shoulder doing all of the same type of training, and we're taught at a very early stage that, you know, stuff down your feelings and emotions, and you've got to just compartmentalize all of that so that you can carry on in the mission. And that's amazing. We have to do that in order to survive and to keep our brothers and sisters safe while we're carrying on the mission. But when we come home, there's no reintegration into what it's like to be a woman, how to be feminine, re-embracing our emotions and our feelings and how to communicate that. So oftentimes we just stuff it down. And unfortunately, when we stuff all that down, it festers much like a cancer, and it'll implode. It's like a ticking time bomb that you never really know when it's going to explode. And these women are trying to manage their relationships, being a mother, re-entering into a new career, while carrying around this, you know, 1,000-pound elephant in the room, and there's no support. And so a lot of times I'm hearing they feel isolated, they feel like they're alone in the situation. So Operation Juliet really is there to help them understand that they're not alone. There are many women that are going through, and not only are we going through the similar things, we're here to support and encourage and inspire you.
And I thought about having you back on the show a little closer to Memorial Day, right? And to kind of just get people thinking about those who paid the ultimate price, and then honoring those, those that are still here in the process as well. But I thought, but today is Yellowstone Valley Gives, right? So so for those of you in Yellowstone County area, they're doing this big push for nonprofits in the area, Yellowstone Valley Gives. And so Operation Juliet, I would encourage you, if you have the ability, show them your support, show these women warriors your support. But really, frankly, for our listeners all across Montana, you're helping women warriors all across Montana. You're helping women warriors all across the country. So you don't have to wait for your county to do a special, county gives program to give to Operation Juliet.
Right. Yellowstone Valley Gives really is for the entire community nationwide. It's called Yellowstone Valley Gives because it's really about awareness about the nonprofits that reside within Yellowstone, but the giving goes way outside of that bound. And yeah, we do serve all female veterans. We have two primary initiatives that are in play now. That's the retreat that you discussed. It's right around the corner, starts June 17th. We have 10 women coming in. Three of them are Montanans and seven are throughout the nation. But our other flagship program is our monthly gatherings. And so we bring together female veterans in the Billings area every month. And it's all about embracing that community again, but also exposing them to a variety of healing modalities to help them along their journey of overcoming whatever challenges and tribulations they may have.
And also sharing some of the success stories.
Absolutely.
You've been very successful in your career, but then you even realized you had some stuff you needed to deal with. And so on the outside, people might be, wow, this is a really successful woman. They didn't know what you might have been struggling with, yeah. And things like that too. And so similar with other women, you know, great success stories, like so many of our veterans, mm-hmm. success stories, but part of that success is understanding what you got to deal with too.
Yeah, well, it's a part of that, you know, kind of cancer that festers, right? Like my career has been very successful, and on an outsider looking in, they would not think that I had been dealing with any of the challenges. But in 2021, I was broken. I was deep, dark, lost, and it took me crawling out of that space to confront my past, my combat tour, my military experience, face on to start my healing journey. And it's a journey, right? It's not an in-stop destination that I'm seeking. I think I'll be healing for the rest of my life.
What's the easiest way for people to give? Or if there's a woman warrior out there that is hearing about this for the first time, how can they be a part of what you're doing?
Yeah, if you want to support Yellowstone Valley Gives today and tomorrow, I would absolutely encourage you to. We're actually in a competition. We're a rookie organization for the first time participating in this fundraiser of Yellowstone Valley Gives, and the rookie organization with the most amount of donors by 6 p.m. tonight is going to be awarded an additional $500. So if you could help us reach that goal, that would be incredible. And you can go to YellowstoneValleyGives.org and just search for Operation Juliet. If you want to just contribute directly to us or learn more about our organization, just visit OperationJuliet.org.
You mentioned something that a high percentage of the women warriors, the female veterans, that might also be struggling with post-traumatic stress and things like that. Also, there's a high number of those that suffered military sexual trauma, mm-hmm. is MST, as you mentioned, sexual trauma while serving in the military. I've been listening to the audiobook Tribe by Sebastian Junger, because we had Brian Gilman, the CEO of mm-hmm. Warriors in Quiet Waters, on the show, and that was one of the books he mentioned as in some of the talks he's been giving. And Junger made the point that because of, you know, before I get into that point, he made the point that post-traumatic stress from military, from the war, that's a bad thing, but also you can draw on the good things. You can draw on the people, the tribe that you were part of, the men and women that you served with, and the good things that you did while over there. Mm-hmm. So that can help you overcome some of the bad things that you saw, right? But with sexual trauma, what good do you draw from that? So that's an even harder group to have to deal with and to have to overcome. I thought that was a really good point. So what if you're a woman who's in both of those situations, right? So
slippery slope.
Yeah, anyway, hold that thought if you can. Just stick around. Dallas Knight, Operation Juliet. We'll talk more right after this quick break. And if you have a question or a comment, want to jump in on the phone lines, 294-0970.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Look, this 100 days of Trump have been nothing short of historic. One of the things you've got to understand and maybe appreciate throughout the next, you know, 3 3/4 years that we have left with Donald Trump here is you're not going to see any, or 3 2/3, whatever the number is, years that we have left with him, assuming he stays healthy, assuming that you know, there's not another would-be assassin out there, God forbid. And there's been so much violent rhetoric, it's absolutely chilling. But let me tell you, this is not a president you will see often in the course of history.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Attention retirement savers. J.P. Morgan predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to Forbes, 2025 recession risks just increased significantly. And Ray Dalio warns of a more serious global breakdown. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to the award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to find out how you can help diversify your savings tax and penalty free today. Help protect what you've worked so hard for before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
It's May 1st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. May 1st is better known as May Day. Over the years, May Day has taken on many meanings, from ancient religious celebrations to the more modern interpretation as International Workers' Day. Also on this date, in 1920, George Herman Ruth, better known as Babe to baseball fans everywhere, hit his first career home run for the New York Yankees against who else but the team that would go on to be their longtime arch rivals, the Boston Red Sox. The animated children's series about a sponge and his friends that live in a pineapple under the sea.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants debuted in 1999. If it's your birthday today, you share it with famed frontierswoman and sharpshooter Martha Jane Cannery, better known as Calamity Jane, born in 1852. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we only got a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, that's our legislative update. We've got Republican Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, and then Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula. We're going to be talking about the legislature. I know it's very frustrating. I know many of us are deeply disappointed in this legislative session. We're going to talk about the adjournment sine die. They officially called it a wrap yesterday. So that's going to be the focus of the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Back to it here with Dallas Knight, Operation Juliet, a Montana a woman warrior, getting other women warriors out on a really cool retreat later this summer in the Bozeman area. Dallas, what else do you want to tell our listeners across Montana before we run out of time here?
Well, we kind of led off talking about the key challenges around military sexual trauma. So I just want to throw some numbers out there. Of the women that I speak to, and this is, you know, all flavors of female veterans across the nation, about 85% of them share with me that they've experienced that. Of the 20 applicants for our retreat, we had 70% of them report military sexual trauma, and 90% have been diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety, and depression. Many of those have TBIs as well. So I challenge the community as a nation to break the stigma of what a veteran looks like and what a combat veteran looks like, and realize that we have a lot of women warriors out there that are not necessarily relating to those adjectives because they don't feel worthy enough to use those adjectives. And if you do come across a woman who is a veteran, I would encourage you to not necessarily thank her for her service, but I challenge you to ask her what her story is.
Yeah, because some people might be reluctant because they might say, oh, man, am I going to offend somebody by, you know, asking them that very question? On a positive note, how enjoyable has it been for you to connect with so many other warriors as just a result of first publishing your book and then now launching Operation Juliet, your podcast and everything else?
I mean, I work a full-time job in corporate America, so like every nick and cranny that I have spare, I spend working with Operation Juliet, and I am able to do so exhausted and overwhelmed and stressed, because when these women share what it brings to the table, when they share the feeling of community and feeling heard and valid and the messages that I get from them, and then seeing mentees of mine become mentors to other new female veterans that are coming through and just starting their healing journey – it makes it all worth it. And it really is a domino effect that we just started in October. And I feel like I have to constantly remind myself of that. We just started this organization just months ago, and we've already served over 30 female veterans right here in the Billings, Montana area. Again, we have multiple veterans flying in from all over the nation. The word is getting out. We are absolutely here to serve the female veteran, and I encourage you to learn more about us and to support the female veteran community.
All right. Well, Dallas Knight, great to see you once again. And again, tell folks how they can donate, because it's today is, of course, Yellowstone Valley Gives. So everybody in the Yellowstone County area, great opportunity for you to give. But hey, she's serving warriors across the state, across the nation. So those of you in other counties can help push her over the edge. They can boost her numbers.
Help us meet that goal of the most donors by 6 p.m. today. Go to YellowstoneValleyGives.org. Look for Operation Juliet. Check out maybe some other organizations that you could be into. Donate there, or you can go straight to OperationJuliet.org and hit the donate button.
Yeah, I tell you what, you're just going to love that time out at the Quiet Waters Ranch for where Warriors and Quiet Waters is located. Like I said, I was just out there last weekend, and then we got the big Warrior Taste Fest coming up. I'm on their National Advisory Board September 12th, so get that one on your calendar as well. Great time, some of the best food and beverages across the Gallatin Valley, all in one spot, but better yet, a packed house full of great American patriots, service members, veterans, and those who simply want to be there to show support for our fellow veterans. Great time as always. All right, coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, I know I'm frustrated. I know you're frustrated with how this legislative session wrapped up. But our legislative update, the closeout legislative update from the Montana legislative session, coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour.
Securing America.
The president's pick to head up Customs and Border Protection, Rodney Scott, is a former chief of the Border Patrol. In his confirmation hearing, he verified to Democratic Senator Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico that most drug seizures occur at ports of entry.
Yes or no, is CBP's inability to screen incoming, and I would contend outgoing cargo, put CBP officers and American communities at risk?
Screening the volume of traffic coming across the border to include the seaports, the rail, it is challenging.
He says they're trying to invest more in inspection equipment and AI. Vermont Senator Peter Welch asked how he'd navigate the Trump administration's deportation plans with the need for farm workers.
We've got to have access to labor.
But Scott said that's what the visa system is for.
I don't support asking law enforcement officers to not enforce the law.
He added it's up to Congress if they want to change the laws, but until they do, agents under his leadership would enforce them. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.